Welcome to the North Village Church podcast. We are an Acts 29 church serving Austin, Texas by placing Jesus at the center of our lives so that it moves us to serve every man, woman, and child to experience the life-transforming power of Jesus Christ. For more information, visit northvillagechurch.com.
My name's Michael. It's great to see you this morning. We're going to be in Judges chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one at the back. We also have tablets we pass through the aisle. And everybody signs in on the tablet. And if you're new, give us your phone number, your email. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to be here this morning and visit a new church family. We know that's a big deal. And this morning, we're actually going to do something a little different. We'll do a shorter teaching so that we can have some time for prayer at the end. And so we'll do a normal worship service. We'll kind of bring it to a close. We'll dismiss you if you need to leave. But if you can, we'd love for you to stick around, pray with us for about 15 minutes, and just get to pray as a church family. And so that'll be a lot of fun. Don't miss out on that. We've been teaching through Judges. We're in chapter 5 this morning. We looked at verses 1 and 2. We see the introduction. Chapter 3, we see Ehud. Chapter 4, we see Deborah. And chapter 5, we see a song. We see a song. You know why? Because life is hard. Life is hard. Good morning. Welcome to North Village Church, right? We always need to remember to celebrate. And the hardness of life doesn't discriminate. There's none of us that escape the challenges of life. The difficulty comes after all people. And so we must remember to celebrate. And we see that in Judges chapter 5. So if you don't have a handout near you, get up, grab one, grab a pen, and take some notes. This is going to be helpful. Judges chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinom, saying on that day, saying that the leaders led in Israel, that the people volunteered, bless the Lord. Verse 3, hear, O kings, give ear, O rulers, I to the Lord, I will sing, and I will sing praises to the Lord, the God of Israel." So you remember Judges chapter 4? Vinny did a great job last Sunday of walking us through Judges chapter 4. We see the people of Israel take on 900 chariots, and many of us aren't in daily hand-to-hand combat, so maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you, but I found that one chariot would carry five soldiers, a driver, and four archers, meaning if you're in a chariot, you could run over the enemy with your horses, you could run over them with your chariot, and then you could have the archers kill people from a distance, and then if you got close enough, you could kill people with a sword. So these chariots are like modern-day tanks, and yet we saw in Judges chapter 4 that Israel was victorious. So that's why you see in verse 2, right? Bless the Lord, right? Underline that phrase in verse 2. Grab one of these handouts, grab a pen, underline that phrase, bless the Lord. Verse 3, hear, O kings, O rulers, I will sing. I will sing praise to the Lord. Right? They got this feeling inside their bones, and it's electric, wavy when it turns on, right? And it's not Justin Timberlake. It's the Lord, right? They're victorious. They're overwhelmed by his provision and by his delivery. And in response to Judges chapter 4 and Judges chapter 5, Deborah and Barak are leading them in worship like Sonny and Cher. And it's a good time. Look at verses 4 and 5. Says, "Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth quaked, the heavens also dripped, even the clouds dripped water. Verse 5, the mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord, the Sinai, at the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel." So in verses 4 and 5, all credit is given to the Lord. Yes, the people of Israel are going into battle. Yes, the people of Israel are stepping out in faith, but all of the credit is given to the Lord. Write that in your notes. The victory is the Lord's. Look at that in verses 4 and 5. The Lord went out from Seir. It is the Lord who marched from the field of Edom. It is the earth quaking, not because of the power of Israel. but because the power of the Lord as the heavens dripped water from the clouds. Catch this. This is a reference to Judges chapter 4. The Lord leads them to gather at the river Kishon in Judges chapter 4 to fight this battle so that the chariots come to the river and he causes the rain to fall from the clouds so that their chariots get stuck in the mud and the people of Israel are victorious. But it's all because of the Lord. You with me? Look at verses 6 and 7. Hey, if you're new to our church, right, we get into scripture, right? Look at verse 6. It says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted, and travelers went by roundabout ways. The peasantry ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. So in verses 6 and 7, we see why the battle is necessary. Right, the people of Israel are standing against the opposition because they're living under oppression for 20 years. You see that in verse 6, says the highways were deserted. It means the roads weren't safe. Right? You couldn't walk from village to village. Write that in your notes, verse 6. The roads weren't safe. They were always fearful that something was going to happen. So they went roundabout ways. In verse 7, the peasantry ceased, which means it's an economic downturn. Right? Jobs weren't available. The community is withering. Write that in your notes. There's an economic downturn. They're losing hope. They're losing optimism. Sitting under that oppression for 20 years is weighing on the people so that their only hope was that the Lord would respond. Their only hope is that the Lord would raise up a deliverer in Deborah. We need to pause there because we need to remember why the people of Israel are in this place to begin with. Do you remember the pattern we've seen in Judges? The people of Israel, they're turning away from the Lord. We see that in every chapter. In chapter 4, they turn away from the Lord. In chapter 3, it says they're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. In Judges chapter 2, remember what it describes? Said that they had forgotten the great works of the Lord. They didn't know him. Right, they knew about him intellectually, but they didn't know him warmly. And he reminds us of this in verse 8. It says, new gods were chosen. Then war was in the gates. Not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Do you see that in verse 8? New gods were chosen. They've turned away from the Lord. They're reminding themselves why they're in this place. And look, I get it, 2018, you may hear that phrase, you may see that phrase in verse 8, and you may think to yourself, why is that a big deal to turn to new gods? Maybe in our culture, you hear people say, aren't all gods good gods? Doesn't it just matter if you believe in something? It's really common to hear that in our culture today, but we need to remember that there's only one God who brings life, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? There's only one God who sustains. There's only one God who provides, and when we turn from the God who brings life, we turn away from him, we are turning to death. It doesn't matter if it's religious or secular or ideological or political, or a vacation, or a job, or a girlfriend. Like anytime we're turning from the God of life to something else, it isn't neutral. We are turning to death. So that in Judges chapter 4 and 5, we see the most loving response from the God of Scripture is to bring consequences. And the consequences are because they've turned to new gods. They're singing about it in verse 8. We've turned away from the Lord. We've turned from life to death, and now war is at the gates. War is at the front door. And nobody's fighting back. You see that in verse 8? Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Listen, when you turn from life to death, it isn't just spiritual. It's physically weighing on the people. It's emotionally weighing on the people. It's sociologically weighing on the people. And we don't have time for it this morning, but if you look at verses 9 to 23, the song highlights tribes in Israel who stepped out in faith, who followed Deborah into battle, and were victorious in the Lord. But the song also highlights those tribes in Israel who did not step out in faith. The song highlights those tribes in Israel who stayed back. And you have to see, the reason they're staying back is because the oppression of 20 years weighing on the people is affecting them holistically. It isn't just spiritually. Like, they're hurting themselves. There's a lack of boldness. There's a lack of clarity. There's a lack of courage. And it isn't just in Judges chapter 5. Like, this is true today in 2018. Anytime we're turning from life to death, it's going to weigh on us. We're going to place ourselves in a vulnerable position. Does that make sense? Look at verses 24 to 27. We have to skip down. This is kind of a recap of Judges chapter 4. It says, most blessed of women is Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite. So if you weren't here last Sunday, this is a recap. Most blessed is she of women in the tent. This is a reference to Sisera. He asked for water and she gave him milk. In a magnificent bowl, she brought him curds. She reached out her hand for the tent peg and her right hand for the workman's hammer. Then she struck Sisera. She smashed his head and she shattered and pierced his temple. See, if you missed last Sunday, you missed out. You don't ever want to miss a Sunday going through Judges because it was exciting. Look at verse 27. Between her feet, he bowed. This is Sisera. He fell. He lay. Between her feet, he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell dead. Remember, this is a song. This is a song that they're singing. Deborah and Barak are leading the people of Israel in song of worship at the Lord's provision. And in verse 27, I guess that's the hook, right? Between her feet, he fell. And it's like, that's catchy. Go with that, right? It gets stronger. That's not the worst part. Keep reading. 28, 29 says, out of the window she looked and lamented, the mother of Sisera through the lattice. So they're singing an imaginary idea that Sisera's mother is waiting for Sisera to come home. And she's wondering, why does his chariot delay in coming? Why do the hoofbeats of his chariot tarry? Her wise princes would answer her, indeed, she repeats her words to herself. So they're singing a song, imagining Sisera's mother looking out the window, thinking to herself, like, he should be cleaning the blood off the chariots by now. Why does he tarry? What's taking him so long? Look at verses 30 and 31. The maidens respond, are they not finding? Are they not dividing the spoil? A maiden, two maidens for every warrior. That's the spoil, right? Are they not dividing up these spoils? To Sisera, a spoil of dyed work, a spoil of dyed work embroidered, dyed work of double embroidery on the neck of the spoiler. Is that not what's taking Sisera so long? It's probably because the defeat was so amazing and the spoil so great, they're busy going through their loot. But verse 31, thus let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let those who love him be like the rising of the sun in its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. I mean, this song is like four layers of character development. I mean, they're like imagining the mom and they're like imagining maidens. And then you have this contrast, like this dark part of the song. And then this contrast to verse 31, thus let the Lord be exalted. All the enemies will perish, and all those who love him will be like the rising of the sun in all its might. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years. Like, if you've ever wondered, how come I haven't heard Judges taught on a Sunday morning? It's because of Judges chapter 5. What do we do with Judges chapter 5? How do you apply Judges chapter 5 to your life today? Are we to take vengeance in our own hands? Are we supposed to come up with songs? Sing about our personal vengeance against those who have oppressed us or hurt us? Are we supposed to get metaphorical and symbolic and be like, well, Sisera and Judges 4 and 5, I mean, that's probably like Russia and Putin today, and so that's what we should probably go after our oppressors. Is that? Should we just highlight the good behaviors, kind of exalt Deborah and just ignore all the other stuff? We need to remember that all Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is profitable, right? We can't just pick and choose. I like these parts. This part made me feel good. I don't really read that part. It's the really white part of my Bible. Like creaks when you open it. All Scripture is profitable. This part of Scripture is referred to as narrative. You need to remember when you're reading narrative Scripture, it's descriptive, not prescriptive. Write that in your notes. Narrative Scripture is descriptive, not prescriptive. It's not prescribing what we should do in all situations. It's simply describing what took place. And so that's why it's important for us to hang on to our two questions, right? You remember our two questions through this series? What does the passage teach us about the God of Scripture? And what does the passage teach us about humanity? So let's take this first one. What does the passage teach us about the God of Scripture? I mean, in Judges chapter 5, do we not see clearly the battle is the Lord's? Write that in your notes. All throughout Judges chapter 5, we see the focus is on the Lord. It isn't on the chariots. It isn't on the leadership. The focus is on the Lord. I mean, verse 3, I will sing praise to the Lord. Verse 5, the mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord. Verse 9, bless the Lord. Verse 13, it's the people of the Lord. Verse 20, the stars fought from heaven is a reference to the Lord. And the battle is the Lord's. I mean, that's why the people are singing. They lived in oppression for 20 years. And the new gods they have chosen haven't helped them. They haven't navigated them out of this oppression. And yet in their brokenness and their desperation, their only hope is the Lord. And so what does the passage teach us about the God of Scripture is that the battle is the Lord's. The next question. I know we're going fast. Stay with me. What does Judges 5 teach us about humanity? In chapter 5, we see the importance of celebration. I get it. The song's dark in certain places, and we'll touch on that in a minute. But we must not forget the importance of celebration. I mean, they've taken on unbelievable odds. They've become victorious over 900 chariots. We must remember to celebrate. They're pausing to celebrate. I mean, when I was putting this series together, I thought about, we'll just combine chapter 4 and 5 because it's kind of the same story. But I thought, man, the importance of celebration is so easy to overlook. And I want you to hear that this morning, because if you look at verse 31, yes, the land was undisturbed for 40 years, but it's not like it went on for eternity. I mean, eventually new challenges came. Just read Judges chapter 6. I mean, Judges chapter 7, there's new challenges coming. And yet they pause to celebrate. To celebrate God's goodness and provision. And I just can't stress it enough. In my life, it is so important for me to remember to celebrate God's goodness. And I'm always hesitant. I don't know what personality type I have, but I always have this kind of inner voice that says, well, you better not celebrate just yet. I mean, the church might be going, well, church family, good things are happening. I'm like, I don't know what tomorrow might bring. Better fortify, get ready. Yes, I know the Lord is doing good things in my life today. He's providing in these ways, and there's these his goodness, and it's great, but I don't know what tomorrow might bring. Do you see how that weighs on our soul? You see how that leads us to overlook the Lord's goodness in our lives today? We must celebrate God's grace in our lives today. Write this in your notes. You are alive today. We are gathering today. We have the risen Christ today. By grace, through faith in Jesus, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit today. The same Spirit that resurrected Christ from the dead today is living inside of us today. Will there be struggle? Yes. There will be failures. There will be times we go sideways with the Lord, and maybe every day is a fight, but that fight is taking place under the umbrella of God's grace today. You with me? Like, if you are in Christ, there is struggle, there is fight, but it's all under the umbrella of God's grace. You are in Christ, right? I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes, we are afflicted in every way, what? But not crushed. When Christ is at our center, we are not crushed. And we can struggle and we can fight, but we can do so with peace. We are under his umbrella of grace, eternally established. He will return. We can do so with confidence. We can do so with confession and repentance. In our fatigue, we turn from the Lord and collapse at his feet. By the weight of the struggle, by the weight of the fight, we can collapse at his feet to be reminded that there is hope in Christ. It is a living hope in Christ. Do you see the importance of celebration? How important every day, throughout the day, to pause, to reflect on the just boatload of good things he's pouring into our lives. And in Judges chapter 5, we see the greatest reminder of celebration. In Judges chapter 5, we see Deborah and Barak leading the people of Israel to rejoice and sing at a victory that lasts 40 years. How much more can we who are in Christ sing at a victory that is eternal, right? How much more can we sing? How much greater is the victory that we have in Christ than the victory they experienced in Judges chapter 5? Does that mean there's not injustice in our lives and we just need to rose tint it and smile and act like it's not there? No, it is there. Right? There is injustice in how corporations treat employees. There is injustice in how countries treat citizens. There's injustice in how local churches might mishandle spiritual authority. And let's be clear, the injustice isn't just out there, right? The injustice is in here. For all of us have sinned. All of humanity has fallen short of the glory of God. And yes, our injustice might not be as dark as the tyrant Sisera, or as dark as killing people in a battlefield, but it's just as offensive. It's just as offensive. Like, we have participated in the injustice, and we are participating in the injustice in this world, in thought, in word, and in deed. And it's only in Jesus Christ that we see that that injustice does not go on for eternity. Right? There's greater victory in Jesus than there is in Judges chapter 5. You with me? How much more can we sing to know that one day Jesus will return. Like, the victory is sure. The victory is not far. It is near. One day he will return, and the land will be bursting with brightness and glowing with glory, because all the injustices of the world will be held accountable. That's why we sing. It's promised in Genesis chapter 3. It's accomplished at the cross, and it's fulfilled at his return. And that's why we sing. The victory is greater in Jesus. And listen to me. That victory is not just future. I mean, don't misunderstand. Like, when you are in Christ, it isn't as though you are waiting for that victory until Christ returns. When you are in Christ, you are victorious today. You can walk in that victory today. You are walking by faith of a future truth that is to come today. You are walking in that victory today. Not our victory, but his victory that is going to come. That's how confident we can be that it's going to come. Look, that justice that's going to come in Christ can fill our prayers. Prayers with confidence that injustice isn't going to go on forever, but in Christ that injustice will be held accountable. And we can pray accordingly. We can walk accordingly. We can speak accordingly. We can speak out against that injustice. That injustice is not normal. That's not what the God of Scripture intended, and one day it will be made right. That's why we sing. That's why we celebrate. Now, I hope you see that in Judges chapter 5. But not just in our culture, not just in our country, but even in our soul. And as we confess sin, as we repent and turn from sin, victory is being modeled in that very moment. That we are saying to the risen Lord that, hey, it's not always going to be like this. And I want to live by faith about, like, how it's going to be one day. Are you with me? We must celebrate. Every Sunday we end with some questions. Judges chapter 5. Are we taking time every day to celebrate the victory we have in Jesus? Turn to Jesus, confess your sin, receive his forgiveness, ask for his help to obey. Ask for his help to obey. Ask him to soften your heart. To come to him genuinely this morning, and maybe you're in a place where you're saying, in all honesty, Lord, I don't see a lot of goodness. And just confess that to him and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see his goodness. Not just mimicking what you hear from me this morning, but the Spirit would show you just the overwhelming good things he's pouring into your life and that you couldn't help but celebrate. And that we would rejoice that his justice is not far. This morning, there'll be people to pray for you, with you in the back. Holly and Jerry will be back there. I mean, take advantage of that. Go to them. Ask for their help in this area of your life to pray for you, to pray with you. Take advantage of that. Will you bow your head? Father in heaven, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for Judges chapter 5. It's a reminder of just how dark those times were thousands of years ago. And in a strange way, it's comforting to know that the dark times we see in our world today, they're just not unique to 2018. That darkness is the result of our sin. And the hope is that one day that darkness will not go on for eternity. So until that day, help us to not lose heart. Help us to not grow faint. Help us to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to walk by faith that Jesus is who he says he is. And help us to speak that to ourselves over and over. Help us to speak that to one another, to our children, to our coworkers, to our spouses, to our extended family members, that his justice is not far. In Jesus' name.